Fat Monk by Jeff Sipe. Hey, I talked to Jeff Sipe. Here is the interview. I used a telephone and I called him and we talked about music. Here it is. I'm talking via the telephone with Jeff Sipe. Jeff, are you in Asheville or where are you?
Brevard, very close to Asheville.
Okay, and you're coming into Knoxville. You're going to be doing several things. You're playing at Barley's as a trio on Friday. What's that lineup and what's going on with that trio?
Yeah. This is, I guess, formerly known as the Jeff Sipe Trio with Mike Seal and Taylor Lee. So Mike Seal and I have been playing together, well, probably going on 14 years. The past 4 years, though, everybody's been so busy, we took some time off. So our Barley's gig coming up will be the first time the trio has played together in nearly 4 years. We're excited to get back into it.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you've got so many Knoxville connections, including the musicians you're playing with. I think I caught you with Daniel Kimbrough and Mike Seal doing a trio thing at Barley's.
That's right.
That was amazing.
Well, thanks so much. Yeah, it's always interesting playing with Daniel. He's quite the writer and singer and incredible player.
Somebody coming to see this trio, and this will be their first chance in quite a while. What would they expect if they had never heard you before?
What they would walk away with would be probably a sense that everybody on stage really loves what they do. And we're trying our best to listen to each other through the universal language of music. And it's a really powerful thing. I think our chemistry has developed. And so we can talk at a high level, almost telepathically sometimes. So, I think they'll be impressed with maybe, the unity, the chemistry, and the sheer joy of coming off the stage.
And that's something I've always gotten from any time I've seen you play is there's just this incredible, I mean, obviously you got the chops. We'll start with that.
Well, thank you.
The chops. But the joy and the creativity are at just as high a level for me.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I've got a lot of practice to do. For sure. I'm still studying, still trying to get better. And, it's a joyful experience. I think we're all really grateful to be doing what we're doing. You know, when you look around and a lot of people aren't doing what they want to do, it's a reminder that we're lucky. We're lucky in that way.
And, you know, you talk about you're still learning and studying, but you also teach and you're doing a drum clinic at the Open Court in Knoxville Saturday from 2 until 4. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What does that entail?
I wrote a book, and I've been writing since I was 17, just compiling different methods to work on and different patterns to work on, different approaches for my drumming. And so I've compiled over the years quite a volume of stuff. And really, I put it together when I found, I have an iPad and I found an app called iWrite Music, and it's real intuitive and you can write good looking drum notation. So I started compiling all this stuff that I was going to work on for myself. And then I realized I had enough for a book. So I went the extra mile and just put a lot of thought into it. So the first part of it is philosophy and food for thought, musical considerations and techniques, how to listen, musical considerations. And then the first half of the book is geared to all musicians because it includes timekeeping, note values, phrasing, different cadences. And they can be applied to any instrument or vocals. And the back half of it is specific to drumming and drum set players, featuring all possible permutations of different systems that I've worked on to develop my own coordination and library or vocabulary. So basically I took all duplets, triplets, and groups of quads, applied them to three limbs, keeping in mind one of the limbs is a timekeeper. And so I've written out every pattern and every permutation of patterns possible in that scenario. And so it's a thesaurus. I was looking around Before I put this book together, I was looking around for a thesaurus of rhythm for drum set players, and there wasn't one that I could find on the market. So I just took the time, you know, a year or a year and a half to put it together myself. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's what I'm trying to get out there.
So could any level of drummer go to this clinic?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's all-encompassing. It's a holistic approach. So the beginning isn't left out, and it's just everything I've thought of to practice for myself in 48 years of playing now. So it's about 130 pages, and there's stuff in there that I can't play, and I'm using it. Again, I'm using this to develop my own playing as well.
What's the name of the book, and where can people find it?
Rhythm Patterns for Drum Set, and my website is jeffstipemusic.com, and you can order it that way.
And then you've got a Bandcamp page as well, and you've got Timeless and several other recordings up there. What can you?
Yeah.
I've been enjoying that song Fat Monk. What can you tell me about that one? I just love that song.
Yeah, Matt Slocum inspired that, and we worked on it. So it's been retitled, and we've played it with Jimmy Herring Band as well. But that is Matt Slocum is the great keyboard player who lives in Alabama and in Birmingham, and so he's out with Jimmy Herring's band right now. So yeah, that's a fun one. We had a good time with that.
There's another piece that I've been kind of digging off Timeless. It's called All Things Considered. But can you tell me anything about that one? That one just sort of caught my brain.
Yes, the great bassoonist Paul Hansen, who lives out in L.A., San Francisco, excuse me. He's arguably one of the most advanced musicians on the planet. I was lucky enough to have him on my record, Timeless. And that was an improv. I asked everybody, keeping in mind that this album, Timeless, was really focused on healing energy, positive energy, beautiful melodies, and something that you could listen to over and over and get some relief from. And that was the intention of the record. So with that in mind, I asked everybody if they would do an improv prayer type of piece. An offering to the universe, you know, a peaceful offering to the universe through melody. And that's what he came up with. And it reminded me of something I might hear on public radio.
Well, in fact, we are going to hear it on public radio on Improvisations. Here it is, All Things Considered, by the Jeff Sipe Group. We'll hear a section of it anyway. Thank you. And I think it's a pretty cool move to have a bassoon player on a record. It's not an instrument that you see pulled into these contexts that often. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And this album represents a real beautiful side and more of a clean side, although he's playing with a lot of harmony. He's harmonizing himself while he's playing. He's capable of sounding like Hendrix meets Stravinsky. It's so incredible. He's got this guitar sound. You would swear it was like Holdsworth or somebody. But he's got the ability to sound like an incredible guitar player through the bassoon and keyboards all at the same time. He's a one of a kind.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful. I mean, I guess like a lot of music freaks, I listen to a lot of records, and sometimes just like having a bassoon just show up, especially one played that well, it's just sort of like my ears just go, yeah.
Yeah, fresh. That's a different sound, yeah. And then the great Kofi Burbridge, of course. And I have to tell you that everything he played on that record was a first take. You don't ever have to ask Kofi to do anything twice. I mean, you can and he will. But ultimately, I think everybody who's recorded with him has realized he's already got it in his head. It comes out perfectly, flawless, and with feeling. And everything he's ever done has been a first take. One of those rare musicians.
You're incredibly gifted.
Yeah. Yeah. And so beautiful. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think of the first time I saw you play, and I'm going to guess it was in Knoxville at Planet Earth with
Bruce Hampton.
Yeah, and maybe with the Davey Williams.
That's right.
Lineup. Do you remember that?
Of course, those are the beginning days. You know, when we first started, before Aquarium Rescue Unit had been fully developed, there was a whole bunch of different names, and it was performance art. So the antics on stage and the improv was really the main focus, and music really kind of backed the zany, crazy skits, you know, the improv skits. It was a nice balance of pure performance art and cutting edge improv. So Davey Williams, I remember, maybe it was the night you were there, he had prepared guitar, and he had all kinds of toys that would set off the guitar in different sounds. One of them was a metal tape ruler that he extended maybe 10 feet long, and he put the body of it on the guitar pickups, and then the long ruling, the measuring ruler, he was scraping up against the brick wall of the club and turned the amp all the way up, and it was a sound like robot tigers or something. It was really strange animal sounds, but almost mechanical. It was incredible. He is one of the greatest avant-garde musicians, I think.
And that show was, I mean, the way I came to that show was I was walking down the street, and I ran into Chuck Burnley, who was the owner of Planet Earth, and he just looked at me, and he like had this look in his eyes of complete insistence, and said, "Steed, you're coming to see Hampton." And I was like, "You mean the guy that made that crazy record in the 60s? He's like, "Yes, forget that record. This is, you know."
And I said, like
"I know." And I said, "Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will come." And I walked into that show, and it was like, you know, I haven't ever heard anything quite like this. It was one of my highlights here in Knoxville as far as live music goes. And then, of course, I went to all the Hampton shows that came in, and those seemed to just progressively get bigger and bigger and more exciting.
Yeah, he was something else. He was a force. A force of nature and beyond.
What was it like in, you know, touring with Colonel Bruce in those days? Because he became sort of, you know, I'm sure this happened in other cities, but always felt like Knoxville sort of adopted him in some way, you know?
Yeah. It's funny how life, you know, lines up with like minds or people who need each other. I think we all need each other, of course, but the Burnley and Bruce Hampton connection was a powerful one. Both extreme intellectuals and people who did things their own way, no compromise whatsoever. And so I think they recognized that in each other. But back then, there was a spirit of around us that seemed to be bigger than us, and it called us to express ourselves in the most honest way. And Bruce Hampton always allowed that. Aside from being a magnet for musicians who really want to go that route of expression and not without commercial interest, Bruce also had a psychic ability, unlike anybody I've ever met or will ever meet. Hundreds of times, I can tell you honestly, traveling with him all over the country, hundreds of times he would guess people's birthday, just strangers. For example, we'd be, you know, halfway across America and pull over to get lunch somewhere. We'd go into the restaurant, and the waiter or the waitress would come up to the table, and within 30 seconds, Bruce, more often than not, could guess their sign, if not their birthday, most often within a week. We were flabbergasted every time it happened. It didn't happen all the time. Sometimes he would bomb, and we would all laugh. But he was an incredible psychic, a gifted psychic. Another story. So at the top of Planet Earth, Chuck Burnley's club in downtown Knoxville, there was a penthouse, and the band would stay up there. And one day, Bruce came in. There was probably six of us hanging out at the penthouse there. And he comes up to each one of us one at a time, asks for two numbers between 1 and 100. And so the person would tell him these two different numbers. And he would reach into his pocket without looking, grab two pieces of paper, and bring them out. And they were those numbers. He got everybody right. Except for me, he got me on the third try. Stuff like that, just they're beyond even possible. Someone, you know, the odds are in the trillions, they have to be.
And the thing is like, I kind of see that willingness to risk it all, you know, with some like outrageous guess like that. Also on stage, and not just Bruce, but the whole band. I've always tried to figure out what I love so much about that band. And I think it's because you guys would risk anything at any given moment. And that there's a freedom in that you feel as a listener.
Yeah, it was really special. And the intention was just to be creative and go out. And so it was, you know, a limited audience for sure. But I think everybody who saw it got something that they would never get anywhere else.
When you put together your own band, you know, the trio or other ensembles, what do you take from those years that you use in your own music?
Oh, well, the same kind of spirit. I felt like when I got the gig with Bruce and I was able to play in that sense of freedom, I felt like, why isn't everybody doing this? All you have to do is allow yourself to do it. And so I've kept that kind of a seed wherever I go. And, you know, it's a joyful place. It can be serious, and it does have to be serious, but it can be just as fun.
Yeah, that's... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, when I've heard you play a number of times now over the years, and it's always there, and also that sense of freedom too, and adventurousness. It's the same thing you said, you know. A personal anecdote. One of those Planet Earth shows, my Rockin' Teen Combo opened one of those shows, and you know, and I was thinking, yeah, we're pretty good.
Okay.
And we weren't bad, but then you guys came on, and it was just like, oh, there. Okay, the possibility. You know, we're not maximizing our freedom. You know, and I didn't feel bad either. I was like, you know, like obviously, well, you guys are way better. But I was thinking, like, you know, oh yeah, these guys have really blown open the doors, and our doors are we're closing our doors, And Jimmy Herring came up later and he was like explaining, like, yeah, go for it, you know. But it was just, you know, as I'm sure you've had this impact on a lot of musicians.
Well, I would only hope so. I mean, Bruce reminded us every day that we were lucky to be doing what we're doing. We're not out there saving anybody. We're not, you know, certainly not Mother Teresa or doing anything on that level. We're really just having fun. He would say, you know, he's rubbing his hands over a piece of wood, or I'm just, you know, throwing some sticks on things, you know. So his perspective was humbling. It kept us grounded, centered, and in the right intention, so that when we went out, we weren't playing for a myriad of other things that aren't related to music. We're deep in the music. He also reminded us that we could go at any minute. So do you want your last gig to sound this way or that way? And so with that in mind, if you remind yourself, one day you're going to step on stage and you may not step back off of it. With that in mind, life is short, and why not bring the best out of everybody and help them help you?
Yeah, and likewise, as a listener, and this is something I have to remind myself of, you know, hey, life is short. Why not skip the Netflix series and go hear something live and immediate?
Yeah.
And you
that's
can
great.
And you can do that Friday, July 26th at Barley's. It's the Jeff Sipe Trio. What's the official name? Is it the formerly known as?
Formerly and currently the Jeff Sipe Trio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play with other cats with that same name. I would rename it. But we've been together playing for so long now, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, and I'm particularly excited about it. It's like joy medicine.
Yeah, vitamin J.
Vitamin J. Yeah, I'll take some of that. Well, Jeff Sipe, it's been really, really great to talk to you, and I'm thrilled you're going to be in town for a whole weekend with us.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing you, and. Thank you.